Good morning, church. This morning we're going to be looking at a passage in the book of Jude. Jude is not a book of the Bible that a lot of people are familiar with. In fact, when I say Jude, most people probably think, hey, Jude. That's a Beatles song if you don't know the reference. And it's not the Bible writer. I think we think of that song because there's sort of instant nostalgia, and Hey Jude gives us lots of warm fuzzies when we hum along to the song. I was reading about that song the other day, that Paul McCartney wrote that song for John Lennon's son, Julian. In fact, the song was originally called Hey Jules, because that was his nickname. Then a little later on, they changed it to Hey Jude. At that time, the Lennon family was in turmoil, and McCartney really wanted to encourage Julian. And so it's a song that's full of optimism and togetherness and has advice about love and a number of other things. And you may know the lyrics. The beginning of the song, Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, and then you can start to make it better. And later on in the bridge, Paul sings, and anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. For well you know it's a fool who plays it cool by making the world a little colder. And there's the refrain, the coda that goes on, you know, na, 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 you know, that, and it goes on for 4.5 minutes on the original recording. It's a long piece. You can thank me for the earworm later. Since John Lennon died in 1980, Paul McCartney decided he was going to do that song in every single concert, and he leads the audience in singing that. In fact, I can remember being with thousands of people at FedEx Stadium in Washington in 2009 when McCartney led us in that song and had us all holding hands and singing, and people had tears running down our faces, and it was an interesting moment. This wasn't sort of a typical, you know, idol worship thing. It wasn't focused on McCartney. This was a guy who seemed to know how to draw people together in a place, in an experience. And it was moving because I think we so seldom experience a moment that draws us together and feels like we belong together, that there's something bigger than us. It was powerful. It was a powerful moment. And that's just a singer in a song. There's power in encouraging words. So let me switch gears and change Jude's. What does that Jude have to do with this Jude that I'm looking at today, the Bible writer? Well, nothing really, except that McCartney wrote that song to try to make a very difficult, upsetting, and depressing time better for a boy who was grieving, and try to make him not feel so alone. Well, we are now in a sad, difficult, upsetting, and often depressing time, and sometimes we feel very alone. And we could all use a little encouragement right now. When Jude wrote his book, the first century church was going through a really rough time. Jude identifies himself as the brother of James, but in his humility, he leaves out the fact that this is very likely the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. And we're pretty sure that James and Jude came to faith a little bit later than the 12 because of family. And but when he believed, when he came to believe, he really believed. When James started writing this letter, he said he wanted to write just about salvation. It was something he was very excited about. But then he heard about all these attacks that were going on at the church. They'd already been through an awful lot. The Romans had done their best to destroy the Christian, or the beloved city of Jerusalem around the year AD 70, and it was a very crushing and terribly discouraging event for both Christians and Jews. The remaining Jews and Christians were driven away from their homes, and the rebel Jews holed up at Fortress Masada after that fall of Jerusalem, and they stayed there for a two-year siege, and then finally that group killed themselves rather than surrender to the Romans. It was a very sad time all around. Persecution of Christians in those days came from two sides. It came from the Romans on the one side and the Jews on the other side. And so somewhere between 10 and 15 years after the fall of Jerusalem, Jude wrote this last letter in the Bible before John's revelation. It's not a very long book. It's only about 25 verses long, just one chapter. Jude notes that in the church, some had crept in unnoticed. They weren't true believers, just Christians in name only. They were perverting the gospel, he says, twisting it to justify sin. They were false teachers, false leaders, dividing the body of Christ, and actually trying to tear it down and destroy it rather than build it up. So Jude says that they were so bad. In verse 4, he says, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they failed the litmus test as to what it really means to be a Christian. That whole first section of the book talks about their character and their lack of real knowledge of the Word of God. Instead of serving Jesus and others, it says they were serving themselves and feeding themselves. They were preachers, all right, but they did not have the Holy Spirit. And so instead of uniting the church, they were causing dissension and they were splitting the church. Some people were falling away. Some were likely embracing the heresy of Gnosticism, which was popular at that time. These people were destroyers of the church, the body of Christ. And that whole first section, Jude is essentially saying to anybody who would listen, don't be destroyers. And then he takes the whole thing and he flips it upside down. And that's where we're going to jump in here this morning. It's where we can apply these words to the situation that we're going through today. He says, don't be a destroyer, be a builder. You may have noticed that in the news and on the internet and anywhere else you get your news and information, that there are some people who just seem to want to tear things down. They want to tear other people down. And they seem to want to instigate argument and separation between people. These people are destroyers. Listen to what Jude says. He says, don't be destroyers. Starting in verse 20, he says, but you, beloved, now he's talking about Christians, you, beloved, be builders. Now, that's the Walker paraphrase. I want to look at what it actually says here in the scriptures. And so if you have your Bible with you, or if you don't have your Bible, you might want to go get it. Follow along with us. We're looking at Jude chapter 1, starting at verse 20. Jude writes, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. If we break this little passage down, this little section of encouragement down, there are basically six things that he says that the people ought to be doing during this time of stress. Yes, times were hard. Yes, times were really bad. There were some really bad things going on. But he says, you, never mind what they're doing, you be a builder. You be the Christian that God called you to be. So as we read this, I really urge you to listen to the Holy Spirit and let your heart tell you how to apply what Jude is saying here to our current situation. First thing he says in verse 20 is, build yourself up in faith. Now we've talked a lot over the past several weeks about using some of this time to work on our spiritual disciplines, particularly prayer and Bible reading. An old friend of mine texted me the other day. He was a young man who'd been a big part of our lives when we pastored a church in Michigan about 20 years or so ago. And he found us on the web and he watched our worship service last week. And about the sermon, he said, you know, as I'm listening, I'm realizing if I'm a Christian, I should already be praying and I should already be reading my Bible. And then he added, but I'm still working on it. Well, I think if we're honest, I'd say we're all still working on it. We often say that we want to hear God speak in our lives, but we have to bring ourselves to a place where we can hear from God. And that's our part. That's building ourselves up. God laid the foundation, and we're supposed to build on top of that foundation spiritually. And the foundation is faith. That faith is believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins on a cross and was raised on the third day. We need to repent or turn away from our sins. We need to open our hearts and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, Jude says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, this isn't just some faith. We all have faith in all kinds of things. This is the most holy faith. This is a faith that's different from any other kinds of faith. This is not faith in ourselves. It's not faith in technology. It's faith in God. And it comes from God. And it's focused on God. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Well, as Christians, it's our job to read the word of God so that we can hear God speak to us, and then to obey what we hear. Second thing Jude says is pray in the Holy Spirit. That's in verse 20 as well. Their congregations were fighting against false teachers. They were fighting against false prophets. But behind every false prophet and behind every false teaching is a false spirit. And you can't defeat that by logic alone. We need to remember that we're in a spiritual battle. It's fought in spiritual armor, like you read about in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So Jude says, pray in the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God he's talking about. When we pray, we need to be led by God. That comes from listening to God. His leading follows your listening. Pray in the Spirit. That includes the pandemic that we're in right now. There are a lot of false teachers around. We talked about that a little last week. Let God also lead you as you pray against the virus itself. We pray in the Spirit. We listen to God's voice, and we follow his leading. Prayer is one of the greatest gifts that God could ever give us. And it's absolutely necessary for spiritual vitality. If we want to grow, we need to pray. And it does make a huge difference. Third thing he says is, keep yourself in God's love. Bible scholar Paul Cedar says, if we're going to be builders, we must also be lovers. And that love must flow from God himself. Now, when we say lovers, we're not talking about sex here. We're talking about loving others as God loved us. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul tells us that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. A lot of times, we want to express our relationship with Jesus with our head, and there's nothing wrong with intellectual study and pursuit, but you have to let it also be expressed in and through your heart. I picture the way God wants us to share love, kind of like a leaf blower. Think about a leaf blower wired directly to your heart. And God's Spirit putting out great blasts of God's love to everybody you encounter. Well, God wants to love everyone around you through you. In John 15:9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love." In other words, because of Jesus, live in love. If you keep going through that chapter, in the next verse he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. In verse 12 he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. In verse 13 he says, there's no greater love than laying your life down for somebody else, which he did for us on the cross. He ends that section in John 15 by repeating this. He says, this is my command, love each other. Well, as real Christian lives are lived out, we live them out in love, even in the middle of a crisis, maybe especially in the middle of a crisis. The mark of our Christianity is not scoring points by being right on Facebook. It's not our do-gooderism, the good things that we do for God. The mark of our Christianity is our love. The fourth thing Jude says to them in the middle of their difficult time is, wait for the mercy of the Lord. Jude says, all that love is going on as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Ultimately, if you're going through difficult times, whether it's persecution or you're going through disease or the COVID-19 virus or any other struggle, we look to the coming fulfillment of God's mercy. his return to fully establish his kingdom, or our time of being united with Christ if we die in the interim. Either way, his mercy involves eternal life with him. It involves no more death, no more dying, no more disease, no more tears, no more grief. And we have to keep our eyes on that goal. But God's mercy is something we can also enjoy right here and now. You know, if we have a long-term focus, if we believe that that's ultimately what's going to happen with us, then we can rest in his mercy while we wait. God is ever present. You know, the words from Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. In fact, Lamentations is an interesting book to read because it's a book about telling God about our pain. In chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23, that's where that quote comes from. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, we don't give up on God because we know that God hasn't forgotten us. We wait on his promise of eternal life, and we live out his mercy now. And that brings us to the fifth thing that Jude says. He says, have compassion. Love isn't just a feeling. It expresses itself in some pretty practical ways. The same is true of compassion. We feel the hurts and we feel the pains of other people. We feel badly about their situation, but compassion motivates us to go beyond that. In James 2:16, James says, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Well, compassion takes us beyond feeling. It moves us to action. It takes us beyond, oh, I feel sorry that you're short on supplies, to, hey, let me give you some of my toilet paper. Apparently, that's worth more than gold these days, so we'll use that as the commodity. The ultimate expression of love and compassion is really moving into action, into doing something about it. Well, the sixth and final thing Jude says is, and he's saying this is what we need to do to be builders, he says we need to save others. And then he has this little parenthesis here, with fear, with fear. Well, James writes, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Our ultimate show of mercy and love and compassion shares faith with people who don't have it. It snatches them from the flames of hell. And we do this mixed with fear. We don't do it in fear. We do it mixed with fear, lest we be tempted and we fall away ourselves, as some in their congregations were doing at the time that Jude wrote this. And so we're encouraged to reach out, to share faith, to bring them into fellowship. And we need to do that patiently. We need to do that with love and with kindness. We need to be careful not to be pulled out of fellowship with Christ and his church ourselves in the name of helping other people. So that's Jude. When you're going through some difficult times, we're told, you know, don't put on the brakes and don't become destroyers. In other words, it's actually the opposite. Put on the gas and become builders and build up God's church. In dark times, it's okay for us to hold hands and sing encouraging songs. And, you know, hey, Jude is one of those. But maybe we should be saying, hey, Jude, what Jude said, it's what Jude said. He said, Christians need to be keeping on keeping on. We need to keep going. We need to keep being Christians, even in the middle of crisis, even in the middle of hard times. I want to end in prayer, and then I want to just transition right in to the beautiful doxology that Jude wrote at the end of the book. Let's pray together. Father God, help us to be Jesus people no matter what, no matter what crisis befalls us, no matter how dark it gets. Let us be the light of Christ in the world. Let us build ourselves up in your holy faith. Let us follow your lead as we pray in your spirit. Help us in your love. Keep us in your love. And let us live in love. And help us to have compassion that moves into action, into caring for the people around us. And as we wait for your ultimate mercy, Lord, help us to be about our Father's business, sharing Christ, hating sin, but never the people that you've given us to reach. For your name's sake, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. In Jude's words, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Pray hard, trust God, be safe.